This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dog dirt.
What do you got left?
It's dog dirt. I'm honestly...
So it's fragile.
I got to be honest. Maybe I'm setting myself up for a big fail. I just am not factoring that in. Is it because I'm selfish and I've seen them... It's not just these five great years. They had a couple of great years with Mark Jackson. Let's not kid ourselves. We've had a sustained level of excellence to very, very good. And maybe that's lulled me into the belief of they still have the ability to get there. I'll give you one. Remember the end of Mark Jackson's stop here?
Yeah.
They were pretty damn good. Could this year be that good? Or are they not even there? Are they not even the...
They won 47, right? Or was that the year they won 50?
I thought they won 50 under Mark Jackson in his last year.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. So they got to 50. Is that off the table? Is 50 off the table? It's April.
I think it is.
It's. You think 50's off the table? Oh, interesting.
Coming into the year, I think it is.
Okay.
I mean, that is, 50 is, everything goes right. 50 is, Stephen Curry's an MVP, Draymond's a defensive player of the year, yeah. Glenn Robinson's shooting 37% from three-point range and able to play 25, 30 minutes a night at the three, and he's locking up other, of the big gun small forwards in the NBA. Willie Cauley-Stein's averaging a double-double. Kevon Looney's averaging a double-double. I mean, that's what 50 looks like. Pascal and Poole are immediate fits, which they're going to both be rotation pieces at the beginning of the year. And I think those guys have played well. Look, I don't think it's, you're running through it and you're thinking, boy, this, it's not the most optimistic view of it. It's just, it's reality. It's not to say that they can't be good or can't be a playoff team. It's just, it's not a lock, and things are going to have to go well for them to be the best version of themselves. It's not roll the balls out and you're winning 47 games just because Curry and Draymond are here and everybody else will follow. No, they're going to have to play really, really, really well.
Yeah. Just a little historical reference here. You go back to the Mark Jackson years, 2012, 2013, you know, you got to do some business right here real quick.
Yeah, you're listening business. To 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station.
All righty, we got that in. So you go back to 2012-13, they're a 47-win team. They're on the way up, right, because they were a 23-win team before that. 47 wins got you the sixth seed. The next year, they're four wins better, 51-31. They stayed the sixth seed. The Western Conference doesn't ever seem to be what the East can be, where you can get in at 500 in the East. It seems like 47 and you're a six.
Yeah, but that's 6 years ago.
But it seems to, well, last year, though, you had to be 40. You said you could,
did you have, again,
be,
everybody
did you
said,
have,
yeah. Did you have to be 48 or did you have to be 40? Like, there was a 9-game difference.
Yeah. So there was definitely a dividing line of these eight teams are far superior than the rest of the trek of the West.
Yes. There were eight playoff teams and seven non-playoff teams.
How many teams we looked at the West and you gave us your six locks, correct?
Yes.
Give me those locks again.
Clippers, Lakers. Nuggets, Jazz.
Yep.
Portland, San Antonio.
Okay, so those are your locks. That puts the Warriors on a cusp.
I put the Warriors and the Rockets in their own category, and maybe you put the Spurs in there too, but...
Okay. But those are three that you look at because Oklahoma City is going to drop.
I think Oklahoma City's out.
Okay, so they're out of the discussion. So of the teams that are left, which teams are most likely? See, I think everyone's sleeping on Dallas. I like Dallas.
I don't know. I don't know between Dallas, the Pelicans, and Sacramento.
Okay.
I honestly don't know. I think Sacramento, on paper, because they had a better season than expected last year, they believe that they've got some cohesiveness and can make a push, and their natural arc is they're going to go from 39 to the low to mid 40s. Like, that's the optimist view on them. I could see them being a more talented team and winning 2-3 fewer games this season. Dallas is not as far along in their development as the Kings are. The Kings are a year ahead of them, and the Kings are a year ahead of the Pelicans in terms of their development too. But will those two teams gel on the fly and play at a higher level than Sacramento? I put all those teams in the same category, and then I kind of put Oklahoma City in there as well. Is, well, let's see how much they even care about winning.
Phoenix, you write them.
Phoenix stinks.
But how's where's Minnesota?
Minnesota's below those other teams.
Okay. So you don't even put Minnesota. Carl Anthony Towns and company. Don't put them up there with the Dallas, Sacramento's, Pelicans.
No, I don't.
Okay. So again, it seems like we have kind of a dividing line of eight, and then some questions after that.
The five or six, and then I have the two or three that the Warriors are in with the Rockets and the Spurs, and then I have Sacramento, Dallas, and the Pelicans as the outliers that want to sneak in and are going to need help. Like those teams are going to have to be improved, but also need help, meaning something bad has to happen to one of the teams that I do have in. Here's how Sacramento makes it. Sacramento makes it if they gel and are better, and one of the top eight has a disaster.
Okay.
That's the only way they make it. Because if the top eight are the best versions of themselves, Sacramento's got no shot. Because then they could win 45 and still not make it.
I'm not as big on New Orleans as others are. I think that they've received good pieces from the Lakers. They've added good young pieces, but they're too young. Who is going to be their pulse? Who is going to be the guy that teaches all these young guys how to be NBA players? I'm not so sure. Does that mean I think they're going to be bad in 3 years? No. I'm telling you, this year, I don't see... They won 33 last year. I think that's what they are. Minnesota won 36. I think they're 36 to 39 wins. Memphis, I think they're heading down the right road, but it's going to take a while. They got young guys. You just can't win with the young guys in this league. It doesn't work that way. I think of the teams left, I like Dallas. Now, I can't say I definitively believe, but I absolutely like that they've put together a couple of pieces. They've picked the lane they're going in, and they're going in that lane. I think Dallas and the Kings are in that group, and I actually like Minnesota a little bit. I don't think they're horrific. Like Phoenix is horrific. I think Dallas, Sacramento, and Minnesota are the next layer, with New Orleans and the rest coming beneath them.
Let's get to Rodney and Milpitas. Rodney, you're up here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Rodney.
Hey, guys. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, okay? And I'm a very optimistic person. I've been a Warrior fan forever. You got two things going bad. First, we've lost a lot of talent, injury, talent left, obviously. Second, it's a young team. Third, it's all the other teams around us that's gotten better, you know. So you got all these things going, and I think they're going to be average, and they're going to hit above average maybe four or five times during the year. And I agree with what you were saying earlier. When Curry goes out, which he will go out, and he's older, and you know, you get more injuries as you get older, you don't recover as fast. Is that they're going to tank, and they're going to probably at best they'll be .500 team. But the other thing is too, when Thompson comes back, that's going to obviously fill a big hole. That's going to change things. Is it going to change things soon enough at the right time? And is it going to be able to make a big enough difference if things are going awry? So I'm out on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Rodney. Appreciate the call. They're going to have to make Klay Thompson's return matter without him. Klay is not, like, that's one thing I will say for sure. Klay Thompson is not saving the Warriors season. He's not. Like, there is not a scenario for me where, let's say Klay Thompson comes back with, I don't know, 27 games or 25 games left, okay? But this team's 8 under .500, you know, 6 under .500, but Klay Thompson's coming back and there's 25 games left.
No.
And you're going to go 20-5.
Make vacation plans for early April, mid-April, if that's the case.
Like, don't think that way if you're a Warriors fan. Think, no, this team needs to be 5-6 games over .500 and then Klay Thompson comes back, and then you get on a run, and then maybe you got something coming into here. That's what makes this season so fascinating to me, is there are people out there that believe the Warriors are a playoff lock, top four seed. When Klay Thompson comes back, they could win a championship still, because nobody's going to want to play him in the playoffs, and they've got that core, and they can get it done. And then there's people that think, well, they could be 20-30, and they're going to tank.
God bless those fans who think that they're going to be a top four. Klay comes back and pushes them towards a championship. God bless them. Because then you know what they are? They're great fans. They believe in their team, and they're backing their guys. I'm telling you, you're going to – listen, tell everyone what Bob Myers said. Just because I think this is going to be a running theme.
Next update on Klay, all-star break.
Okay, you're not going to get the DeMarcus Cousins – weekly turning into daily. What did he do at practice today? He shot threes after practice today. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that.
I mean, you will get it, but you won't. I mean, you will get it if he's visible. But it's not going to change the timeline.
So the minute, here's what's going to happen, just so everyone knows, season's going to start at some point. They're going to get on the media's going to come in at a practice site. They're going to see Klay. First question. I don't care if you're playing LeBron or the Lakers. First question. What did Klay do today?
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get.
888-957-9570. We'll be joined by Gary St. Jean at the bottom of the hour. Mark Medina's coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. More of your phone calls, and boy, I'm taking some heat again on the text line. Chilton Autobody text line. We'll get to that coming back here.
You should take heat.
95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
888-957-9570. John Dickinson and Jim Cozumel here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors This Week. I mean, we're getting everything from the Warriors are a 33-win team to you're telling me that the Warriors aren't a 50-win team if Stephen Curry's a... Well, no, literally what I said was, for them to win 50 games, Curry's going to have to be an MVP, and Draymond is going to have to be a defensive player of the year, and they're going to have a couple of guys averaging double-doubles beyond that. I actually gave you a path to how the Warriors can be a 50-win team. That's what it's going to look like, if it's going to happen.
That's different than just being myopic and saying, yeah, well, see how great they've been for 7 years? They're just going to continue to be great. It's the uniforms. You could just throw anybody in the uniforms. They're going to win 50. That's not the way I see it. But I got news for you, 650. If they get to 33 and that's it, something disastrous.
Yeah, that's Stephen Curry missed 25 games.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah, that's Klay got injured as well. That's Draymond got injured. Steph got injured. Even to some extent, D'Angelo Russell. While I don't think he's going to be a Klay replacement, and I do think he's important.
And I don't think D'Angelo Russell can be a carrier if other guys are out. Like, you made the point earlier, well, if Stephen Curry misses 10 games, because I had brought that up, you said, well, can't D'Angelo Russell step in and hold down some of that?
I liked him with Brooklyn.
Brooklyn had a team around him. Like, if you're saying D'Angelo Russell's got to play with this team, no Steph Curry, can he carry them to respectability over a 20-game stretch? I'm not sure he can.
A quarter of a season. Listen, they won 42 last year in the East, Brooklyn did, and Russell was their best player.
But here, let me give you this hypothetical.
Okay.
I'll give you the hypothetical. Let's say Stephen Curry misses 20 games.
Okay.
And D'Angelo Russell steps in. You don't have Klay Thompson, but you have this team, D'Angelo Russell, Draymond Green, the rest of this team, no Stephen Curry, 20 games. How many games they winning? I feel like 7 or 8 is probably the max.
Of the 20, so a third of the games, you're right around a third.
And at that point, if you go, let's say anywhere between 4 and 8 games under 500 in that stretch, and you're a 500 team or slightly over to begin with, that means you're immediately up against it. Like, that means you're immediately in danger of not making the playoffs. I think there's a fragility to it that I think Warriors fans need to grasp. It's not that they can't be good, make the playoffs, get Klay back, make a run. That's one extreme, but there is another extreme where the wheels could come off, and they're going to have to value every single opportunity to get a win that they have.
That's why I think this is going to be as interesting a season as we've seen. There have been some recent seasons where I don't think fans have gotten 82 games of enjoyment, partially because of the greatness of the Warriors. Some nights you took the night off as a fan. You can't take the night off as a fan this year. That makes this that much more interesting. This isn't the NFL where if your team wins 15 of 16, you know, you're on your seat every night. In the NBA, this year is going to be different for Warrior fans. But I think it could be different in a better way because every game is exciting. Every game is going to be fought for. There aren't going to be as many nights, if any nights, where they just can throw their sneakers out on the floor.
Let's get to Lee in Santa Clara. Lee, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. Great show this morning.
Thank you.
And, JD, I'm a little more optimistic about the scenario you laid out. You mentioned Curry MVP, Draymond Defensive Player of the Year, Looney and Cauley-Stein both double-doubles, Klay coming back. If you take a look at NBA history, that's a great team. I mean, all those things line up. You're talking about a championship contending, you know, threatening to win 60 games. So I'm a little more optimistic if all those pieces kind of, you know, fell into place. But I got a question about Russell. What are you guys hearing about maybe the interest in trading for Giannis, you know, in a year or so? And then do you think Russell is going to be like a part of a three-guard lineup? Or maybe are they going to turn him into kind of a super sub Lou Williams guy coming off the bench?
I think it's there for this season, Lee, it's probably more three-guard lineup.
So you think there's a chance next offseason he could move, D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Despite the fact that the Warriors have told people they really want to keep him and see how it works.
Okay. The Giannis Antetokounmpo conversation.
I think that should be tabled until...
You don't think this is the official kickoff to the Giannis season? That call is the official kickoff to countdown to Giannis? Let me say this.
The Warriors are just going to have to make themselves desirable enough for him to want to come.
Listen.
Like, that's another part to this.
This is why I maintain at the team store, I want to see Joey Lightyear jersey. I will buy one. I will wear it whenever I go to the game. Because there was a time when Joe Lacob bought the team and wanted to remember when Dwight Howard was still an NBA player and he was a free agent and he said, hey, I want to have a meeting with Dwight Howard. And everyone laughed at Joe Lacob. He was setting the tone. If you are a superstar and you are available, I'm going to come get you. Even if you don't think Golden State's the place to be. And at the time, Golden State was not the place to be. Granted, his first big swing was David West. Right? Well, no, was it? Am I getting that right? Was it David West? Was that his first big swing? It was...
Wait, going back to
for
when?
For Joe Lacob, when he came out... David Lee. I knew I was getting my Davids mixed
up.
David Lee was his first big swing. By the way, they won a championship with David Lee. All right? But he was setting a tone of, I'm going to go get you. I do not think it's foolish at all to have Giannis conversations. Because I do think that Joey Lightyears has something up his sleeve.
Here's what it's going to take, though. It's going to take Giannis saying to the Bucks, I want out, and I want to go there.
He has to become Anthony Davis.
He has to become Paul George or Russell Westbrook or whoever. I know Oklahoma City decided they were going to trade Westbrook after Paul George was going to go, and Paul George was going to go because Kawhi Leonard left. But we're in a day and age now where it doesn't have to work exactly how it worked with Kevin Durant when the Warriors got him, where you had the cap space and everything was lined up and there was a spike and you had all your finances in order to where you could take that guy on. Oh, by the way, though, Kevin Durant chose to come to a team that won 73 games. Why? Because they were extremely desirable to him. Giannis has to believe a year from now, if this is going to gain any legitimate traction, he has to believe a year from now that the Warriors are still a desirable location to win a championship. So that's how you play this year factors into that.
Milwaukee, a 60-win team last year. Didn't they lose one of their better players?
They're set up to not be as good, though. They are set up to be disappointing enough compared to where they were last year to where he would say, potentially, I want out.
That's my rebuttal, is... if they have a pullback.
This is do or die for Milwaukee with Giannis this year.
Now, he in no way, shape, or form has left even an inkling of thought that he will leave Milwaukee. He has said he is a Milwaukee Buck. He wants to be a Milwaukee Buck. He wants to spend his whole career there. Remember the whole conversation a year ago. I don't want to work out with some of these guys. I want to hate them. I don't want to like them. I want to compete for against those guys to win it all. I think in his mind, he's a Milwaukee Buck. Unless, of course, they go from 60 wins to 52 wins, and maybe they're a 5 seed, and they lose to the 4 seed in the first round, and the NBA sees their great big international star, Giannis Antetokounmpo, sitting on the sideline while the rest of the playoffs are going on. And then everyone's, you know how the echo chamber is. Oh, Milwaukee is Milwaukee, small market. They're not going to be able to attract as many great players. Guys start hearing that. The next thing you know, your agent starts hearing that. And then the door is open. But it's going to take a lot. I'll give you my, for instance, I don't think Giannis is Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis, you know, had some people telling him it's time to move on. And he did. I think Giannis is more apt to stay in the league.
I think everything's going to have to be perfect, feel good. They still look like they're a franchise on the rise at the end of this season for him to stay.
The pitch, though, to the Warriors is we still have Steph. We still have Klay. In theory, you still have Draymond. And, oh, yeah, Steph's about out the door.
But you're the next in
and
line.
You're the next in line.
That's the pitch. But you got to be a good – see, I'm of the belief you have to be a good team this year. Like you can't tank and have it go awry and there's injuries and yes.
Okay.
And then think Giannis is just coming here because you're going to have to be to have Giannis enter the conversation a year from now. You're going to have to be close to the best version of yourself this season to prove to everybody that you still, you know, Giannis would have to look at the Warriors like, wow, Klay Thompson was out. And they lost all these key veterans that helped them win championships. And D'Angelo Russell came in, and wow, they held it together. Stephen Curry is amazing. He held it up. They won 48, 50 games. Mm-hmm. He held them up. I want to go play with that dude. And Klay came back, and they were a tough playoff out. I want to go play with those dudes. I want to go play in that culture. That's the way it has to play out. Kevin in San Jose before we get to Gary St. Jean. Hey, Kevin, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, you know, as a Warriors fan, longtime Warriors fan, I think we need to definitely temper the expectations a little bit. I know preseason is preseason, but I saw some really bad defense. Obviously, we didn't have the full team, and I know Steve Kerr doesn't like to show his full hand, but I definitely seen a young team who, when the young guys are out there, definitely making some mistakes. I saw some great, you know, at least trying to play some great defense, on-ball defense by Jordan Poole, good shots by Jordan Poole. And Pascal was great, hustle, rebound, stuff like that. But and obviously Marquese Chris stepped his game up. Something's going on with him. He definitely looks like he could be, you know, obviously an eighth pick in the draft. So I'm happy we got him. But, you know, I just think we need to temper expectations. It's a very, very, very young team, and I don't know if three solid veterans can make up for everybody else being pretty young. And then, you know, obviously we didn't see our full health, full team, Looney, you know, the rest of the guys, Cauley Stein. We didn't see the full team out there, so we got abused by the Lakers, who were much bigger than us. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the call. From Kevin, we go to our first guest on the program today. A pleasure, as always, to be joined by NBC Sports Bay Area Warriors analyst. You see him on the pre- and the post-game shows there. Longtime NBA coach and general manager, Gary St. Jean, the Saintly One. He joins us here, 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Saint?
Well, fellas, it's Emma Collins, and I think we've got two great analysts that are on the set. So I just called to check in and see how you guys are doing.
We appreciate that,
Saint. Thank you, sir.
Let's start here. Well, do you feel better or worse about the Warriors today than you did 3 weeks ago before training camp started? Because I know if you're coaching a team or if you're a general manager of a team, Saint, you got one view of it coming in, you put all the pieces in place, and then things start happening and it can change your opinion. How do you feel about the Warriors as the opinion has changed as you've seen some things play out?
Well, you know, it's kind of like we're all college professors, and I had an incomplete. I didn't have a grade. I wasn't ready to judge. You had so many new players, so many young players, and you know, such a dramatic change. I like the progress they've made. I think the coaches have been prudent and given some guys some rest, mainly Draymond and Steph. We've seen different in the rotations, and you know, it's going to be a work in progress. You're not going to get out to a 17-0 start, but you know what? There's optimism. I like a lot of these young guys, and I think smart people learn how to listen. And if these young guys listen to the veteran players and the staff, this thing can come together in a real positive way.
Saint, I'm going to ask you about one of those young guys, Marquese Chriss, who when he came out of the Sacramento area and out of Washington, there are a lot of high hopes about him as a player, and it's taken him a while. How can a young player, still a young guy, like Marquese Chriss benefit from being around really smart NBA veterans like Draymond and Steph? And how can that help Marquese Chriss elevate his game in the NBA?
You know, Coles, you remember Pete Newell. He used to say with young guys, young bigs, don't judge them today. Judge them in 3 years, unless they were like a top three pick. Now, I know he was a lottery pick, but he was very young when he came out, and you could see the athleticism. But he just, you know, it just wasn't in working in with his knowledge of the game. But I'm looking at this guy, and sometimes when you bounce around a couple of places, now the bell goes off, and you say to yourself, hey, I got to listen. I got to learn. So he's got Draymond there with him. And gosh, you know, I read some things that he said about the other day about him, and very positive. And he looks happy. And I want to give Bob Myers and the whole staff credit for maybe going outside of the box and signing him. And because of Willie Cauley-Stein's injury and how long Mooney's going to be out, he could get some minutes here. What I see just watching is that he's got some feel that I did not know he had, meaning he can dribble handoff if he can't make a pass. If a guy goes back door, he sees the pass. So this is positive, and I think it's going to go in a good way.
Saint, how big of a year is Stephen Curry primed for, and how do you think he's going to adjust to teams really trying to take him away in ways that they haven't really been able to even try because this team has been so talented in other areas?
Well, John, you just hit it on the point. In the past, because of the quality of the shooters and players on the floor, you just couldn't randomly double-team him because he had the ability to find Clay or find Kevin or find Draymond on a great cut or whoever. And so now, instead of double-teaming him on the pick and roll, they may double-team him when he crosses mid-court. This is what used to happen with Michael Jordan when he didn't have a good cast of players with him. But great players can get a feel of how you're defending them, and they adjust. But you're right. I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink at him, but I'm going to turn it another way. I love what Steve had to say. He said, physically, mentally, he said he's never seen him better. He thinks he's really ready to go. And, you know, I'll tell you guys something. I'm an advocate for him shooting 30 times.
Wow. Really?
I really am.
And how many of those are threes in your mind?
Yeah, maybe 15. You know what?
Wow.
This is the greatest shooter we have in the game. And if they can get him any daylight, bombs away.
That's something. As we continue with Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned Steve Kerr. How different, or how is this year going to be different for Steve Kerr? He's had 5 years of the expectation is you get to the finals and win the finals. How is this year going to be different for the guy on the sideline?
Yeah, it's a dramatic change. When you had that great cast of players, and I haven't even mentioned Andre and Sean Livingston, you know, you're managing personalities, egos, all of that kind of stuff. And then you have such smart players. that you don't have to say things five times. Now, when you go to training camp, it's like a teacher with a lesson plan for the day and for the week. And you have to lay it out. And then you have to evaluate how we did today. Well, we got to go over again because they're not going to get it the first time. And then keep building. Every day you got to build. Well, I think not only Steve is a great communicator and a great person with people, I think he's a great teacher. And I love what he does with his staff. He encourages them to participate. They all have a voice. And I think they're one of the very, very best in the NBA. And they're going to take this as a challenge. With all these new pieces, with all these young guys, they know these guys aren't going to play 82 great games. But you know what? They're going to work at it and send the message that every day we're going to improve.
Saint, what have you made of the two young guys, Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal? They're clearly going to be in the rotation. I think Steve Kerr showed his hand last night with that. But what do you think of those two so far?
Well, I'm a big Paschal fan. I really am. You know, my son Greg was coaching with Chris Mullin and Mitch Richmond at St. John's the last 4 years. And so I watched Villanova a lot. And this guy is strong. I mean, real strong. But yet he has feel. He's been extremely well coached. He's poised. I think he can get in there and rebound in traffic. And I also think he's potentially going to be a three-point shooter. I don't know if he's there just yet, but I think down the line, just the extra feet, college to pros, makes a difference. But I'm excited about him. And the other guy, maybe he's got a little swaggy P to him. He hasn't seen a shot yet he doesn't like.
But the Warriors kind of need that this year.
They do. You're right. But be judicious and understand what's a good shot. Take it within the flow of the game. But I love his confidence. He hasn't seen what he didn't like. And you know what? He caught my eye when I watched Michigan. I'm a big John Beilein guy. And when I watched him play, John has adjusted with today's game. He used to be very set-oriented in the half court. Beautiful half court offense. But he's allowed his team to run more and get out in the open floor. So I think he's making an adjustment nicely. And he can be a nice rotation player, as you guys have said. I mean, I'm anxious to watch him on the defensive end and see where he's at there. The key is to get minutes with any coach, Steve Kerr, any other. When you're a young player, you must defend. You've got to give me effort, and you've got to give me defense. I can live with you taking a bad shot down the other end. But those first two have to be there every night. And if it's not going to be there, then you're going down by the Gatorade booth.
Saint, I know winning is fun, and the Warrior fans have had a ton of winning to be enjoying the last 5 to 7 years. But I'm a believer that this is going to be a different kind of a fun year to watch the Warriors, because it's going to be such a different-looking Warriors team. You have some of their superstars, and yet all these extra added pieces. How much are you looking forward to seeing the way this year unfold? Last year, there were some games you knew they'd throw the sneakers out, they'd win. I maintain for 82 games, you don't know what the balance is going to be this year. It could be a fun, interesting, sometimes scary year to watch.
Coach, you're right on it. You know what, as a coach, I think I'd rather have that team that was loaded.
Yes, you would.
But as analysts, all of us, we are inquisitive. We are looking to see what happens. You know, and they've preached, Steph has preached it, Steve has preached it. Hey, this is a new outlook for this team. We're not the hunted. We've come down now, and we're in the run here. And, you know, we're going to have to bring it every night. And it'll be exciting because we're going to see the growth of these young guys. We're going to see, you know, Looney stepping up. I'm really anxious to watch Willie Cauley-Stein in pick and roll action. And, you know, I haven't even mentioned Russ. You know, guys, he's just a natural scorer. And for me, the big thing is he was ball dominant with the Nets and ran the second most pick and rolls in the NBA. So you know that the Warriors are ball movement, people move. And when Steph goes out of the game, we'll see if Steve adjusts and let him run a little bit more pick and roll, if that's what he likes. He finds a way. You know, he's not a bone by guy off the dribble, but he has this ability to get by the primary defender, slow down, put that guy on his hip, and then he reads the bigs, whether they come to shot block, he dishes, or if they don't, he finishes nicely at the rim. And I think he's improved his shooting so that, I think he's a 20-point scorer with ease.
Saint, final one for you. Steve Kerr said last night, the Warriors, I'm quoting him, we have not established anything at all defensively. How alarming is that with now just a few days to go before the season?
Well, I was reading one coach, I think it was Dave Fizdale. He said, you know, when you got a team that you're trying to build, you'd rather play eight exhibitions than four. We've kind of gone the route of the NFL, and they're going to cut down even more. So when you have a veteran team, four is plenty. When you have a building team, you'd like to play more, but because they learn. Those are quizzes. They're not game tests. They're quizzes from the practices as to what we're implementing. So I understand completely what he's saying. Listen, his defense obviously is based upon effort and intelligence. I think it was underrated these last 5 years, the defense that the Warriors played. It was just terrific, and it was all led by Draymond. He's the orchestra leader in the back. He's off the ball, weak side. He's just the best at rotating from weak to strong. He's the best at jumping out and switching when he's in a pick-and-roll situation. Great defensive rebounder, starting the fast break. He'll be the assistant professor because coaches can talk and talk and talk. But it's good for a vet to talk to the young guy and say, now, did you understand what they were talking about here? This is what you have to do every day. And if that's being reinforced, that's the strength of good teams. They have those guys that are helping the young guys. And like I said in the very beginning, if these young guys will listen, they're around great people to learn how to play this game the right way.
Saint, really appreciate the time as always. Looking forward to talking to you quite a bit here during the season, and we'll see you next week.
I love it, John. Sounds great. And Coase, you're the man. I miss you.
I miss you, too. You're going to be walking around Danville today. You got a nice little street fair down there today.
Well, I'll let you guys in on a hint. I'm flying back from Cape Cod.
Oh, there atta boy. Hey, safe travels, my friend.
Now.
I'll be seeing you next week, okay?
All right, guys.
See you, buddy.
All right, Gary St. Jean. Of course, you got to get one more weekend at Cape Cod.
Yeah, exactly. Good
if for you
him.
Can.
Good for him. He's getting into, it's probably a little early fall back there. The leaves are changing. Everything's, the color's changing.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful up there.
Just get a little respite for St. before coming out here for the season.
A little taste. Just a little taste.
Hiya, fellas.
Then look out.
What do you think of Steve Kerr saying we haven't established anything at all defensively?
I'm a little bit scared. Here, listen. You look at the Warriors, and here's what I think. The Golden State Warriors are going to have to play a version of arena football to win this year. They need to outscore teams. I know Draymond Green is a fantastic defender, but one guy isn't going to change the defensive structure. We heard for years how good of a defender Kevin Durant was and how good of a defender Klay Thompson was and how everyone thought those two guys should have been on the all-defensive teams and those two guys really brought it defensively. Well, if they were that great, and evidently they were, you're missing both of those guys. So I think you're going to look at a Warriors team that will have to score. You're going to be scoring big numbers in order to win some games this year. It will be shootouts at the OK Corral over at the Chase Center. I don't think that you're going to be stopping teams and holding them to 103 points a game.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Our thanks to Gary St. Jean. It's John Dickinson and Jim Cozumore. We are with you here on a Saturday until 1 o'clock. It's Warriors this week. We're going through some of the bigger concerns. You more concerned about the offense or the defense?
I'm more concerned about the defense. I think the offense is going to have fun. I've never seen a guy get tired offensively. So I think that when they do get tired, you're going to see it on the defensive end. And again, I don't see where they've got lockdown guys and everyone points to Draymond. That's fine. Point to Draymond all you want. You added D'Angelo Russell. Is he a better defensive guy? No, he's not. He's an offensive guy. I don't see where the Warriors are going to be. You know, you're down. Listen, if they're down 12 heading into the fourth, there were times when you just knew they were going to come back. It was a combination of offense and defense. This year, I ain't so certain it's going to be as easy coming back because they don't have anyone to stop you. So there you have it.
Yeah, I think you're more concerned about the defense. But at times, the offense, when the shots aren't falling, you kind of have wondered where they're going to go.
Well, again, I'm a bigger believer in Russell than a lot of people are. Steph is Steph. And I think Draymond will get other people involved. I think once Willie Cauley-Stein is back, I believe in him as a passer. And I think that's going to open up things and make guys or help guys get easier shots. But it ain't going to be what we've seen for the last 5 years. Okay, it ain't going to be
no.
There's a wide open guy in the corner. Didn't Saint mention Swaggy P? There were some times when Swaggy P was getting fat because he was the odd man out. No one on the opposition cared about him, so he's getting wide open looks all the time. I don't think you're going to get as many wide open looks because there aren't as many weapons out.
Yeah, and I think a big key to this is, look, Stephen Curry looks primed to have a monster year.
Yep.
He appears primed to have a monster year. I think I was reading Anthony Slater, his piece for The Athletic. I think he was 51%, 43% from three, 96% in the preseason. Like, and he had a 40-point game, and he's on point. He's ready. Like, he is ready to roll.
He's mid-season form.
Have a monster year.
You know what? I'm sorry to cut you off. Someone should do a 365-day documentary on him because all I ever see him doing in the offseason is playing golf or going to China, but he comes in so stinking ready.
Well, and Steve Kerr said he was in the best shape of anybody.
That's what I don't get.
On the whole team.
You don't get in great shape playing golf. What is his dietary habit? I need to know this stuff because he is not falling off.
You need to implement it?
Well, it ain't going to happen.
Too late.
It's too late for me. But I bet you oodles of people would. You know how Tom Brady has the Tom Brady method? You know, everyone wants, eat like him. Steph Curry could do the exact same thing. The exact same thing. But I need to know. I want a 365-day documentary on this guy because all I ever see off-season, golf course. Golf course, China. I'm in China. I'm selling my shoes. I'm back in America. I'm playing golf.
You know what it is?
What?
It's proper balance.
Is that what it is?
You got to have proper balance.
A life balance there? Work-life balance?
You got to have life balance. Life-family balance. Work-life balance. Work-out balance.
I get hurt working out.
And remember, everything in moderation, including moderation.
But you can't be that outstanding and moderate anything. Something has to give, right? Something.
He's still in his prime, too. I mean, that's,
How many hours a day does he sleep?
I don't know.
Seemingly four. Because he spends time with his wife, spends time with his kids, spends time on the golf course, spends time in the gym. He's got that wicked workout. Have you ever seen the one before?
Oh, yeah.
The dribbles and not looking down.
He's tweaked it a little bit, but yeah.
Catching the tennis ball. I mean, it's weird. But I mean that in a good way.
He's primed to have an MVP level year.
Dare we say his best year yet?
Is he going to be I think some will say it is his best year if he averages close to what. I mean, he could average 34 points a game.
He could average. I think he could average 34.
And
points
if, and
a game.
if he's in the low to mid 30s, okay, if he's pushing mid 30s, and this team is winning. And he's healthy, he's going to be a top 3 to 5 MVP candidate. It's bottom line, if they're winning.
If they're near, if they're over 500.
Yeah.
If they're hovering around 500.
And I don't even mean 50. I mean,
45?
They're 20-15, 35 games in, and they're the sixth seed. And he's averaging 34 points a game. He's an MVP at that point. He will garner a level of respect. If this team is good this year, I think more than he's even garnered throughout his career to this point.
Steph averaged almost 27 a game last year. Am I looking at that right? I'm looking at, I'm sorry. That was preseason numbers. Let me get to last year because I want to go over. Harden averaged 36. Is Steph going to have that type of effect? Now, Harden does it completely differently than Steph.
And that's one of the things that I'm fascinated by this year is, are they really, you know, we just had Gary St. Jean on.
Yeah.
He says shoot it 30 times, 15 threes, put it up.
He averaged 27 a game last year. If he shoots it 30 times and 15 threes a game, you could see a guy at between 35 and 40 a game. That's impossible to do 40. Your body can't take 40.
He's not going to average. Nah, 40 is extreme.
But I know, but you take 30 shots and 15 are threes. And remember, he's going to go to the line. Although the argument is he doesn't get enough whistles. He averaged 27 a game last year. By the way, why don't we give Paul George enough credit? He averaged 28 a game last year.
He's a good player. Like, I don't think he stinks.
I don't think he stinks, but how come, like, I don't put him in the...
Because he's not.
I don't put him in the Kawhi.
He's a two. And on this team, he's going to be a two, which is probably why it works.
He's Robin. He'll never be your Batman.
Correct.
He'll be your Robin. Is that what... Is Harden a Batman or a Robin?
He had a terrific year last year.
Paul George?
Statistically.
Paul George did.
And I think sometimes it gets... Because I just feel like there's something missing with him. There's just something about his personality, too casual. Mm-hmm. There's just something about his demeanor that's off that I can't quite pinpoint, but I think it leads to the teams he's on not maximizing their potential for as good as people say he is. It's not that I don't think he's a good player. He's a damn good player.
And yet the guy averaged 28 a game and is a lockdown defender. Right? Shouldn't he be in Kawhi's category?
He's not, though.
And that's the eye test.
I don't think he makes... It's the eye test, and I don't think he makes other players better.
Okay.
I know that's... Like, I think Kawhi makes everybody else better. I'm not sure Paul George makes everybody else better. But he's a damn good player. So you could say, what are you talking about? If he's that good of a player, of course he makes people better.
We did get some questions about that. We did get some... We got, you know, hey, Kawhi... Not Kawhi, but Paul George.
There's something off about him, and I feel like we're going to look back, and if the Clippers don't win it, we're going to say, well, why didn't they win it? And it's going to go to Paul George. As to why Paul George didn't do this, well, Paul George wasn't available.
Does that mean Kawhi's Teflon? We're never going to point to Kawhi as the bad guy. He's like LeBron. He will be the Clippers version of LeBron.
I mean,
if the Lakers don't win, is anyone going to say it's LeBron's fault? I think some will. But I think most of the national media will point to the guys around LeBron.
All right. We're halfway through here on a Saturday. It's JD and Co's. More of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. Mark Medina's going to join us at 12:30 as we continue to talk all things Warriors and NBA here at 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.